It's here and now.
If there were any plan in the universe, any pattern to human life, surely it could be discovered, mysteriously latent, in those lives so suddenly cut off.
The opening scene from the 2004 film version of Thornton Wilder's The Bridge of San Luis Rey, the story of five people who die when a bridge they're crossing in Peru collapses. Our next guest says it's one of a number of works of literature that can offer comfort to people trying to make sense of national tragedies, of which we've had more than a few. Danny Heitman is a columnist for the Baton Rouge Advocate. He joins us from the studios of WRKF in Baton Rouge. Danny, welcome back.
Hello, Robin, and all good wishes to the people of Boston right now.
And you were thinking of the people of Boston. It was after the bombings that you came up with this list. What were you thinking?
Robin, I think that all of us crave a basic sense of narrative in our lives, and one of the things that's so distressing about tragedies like this is they disrupt our basic concept of a beginning and a middle and an end. They're like a crack in time. And I think at times like this, it is useful to connect with literature, because literature does restore us to that wellspring of narrative that is so important for us to understand who we are and what we can be.
Well, people reached for Thornton Wilder's 1927 novel, The Bridge of San Luis Rey, after 9/11. Tell us more about that book.
Wilder asks that age-old question, which is, why do bad things happen? And why do they happen to certain people? And he has a character in the book, a cleric, who spends the entire book really contemplating this question. And Wilder concludes that at base, you really can't intellectualize this. You really can't solve this like a mathematical riddle. And he ultimately decides that this is something that has to be resolved in your heart rather than your head. And one of the really defining lines of the novel is at the very end, when Wilder writes, "There is a land of the living and a land of the dead, and the bridge is love, the only survival, the only meaning." British Prime Minister Tony Blair, of course he was Prime Minister during the 2001 terrorist attacks, he connected with this line, and he used it in remembering British victims of the terror attacks in New York City, and it continues to resonate with us today as we think about the Boston bombings too.
Well, that's the closing line, but the opening line is thought-provoking as well. You say the book is powerful because it conveys that catastrophic events such as the Boston bombings are a crack in time in which an exact moment acts as a hinge between what's normal and what's chaos. I love that. And the opening line does just that. Do you have that there?
I do. And what really stirs me about this line is how Wilder contemplates how things can be completely right one minute and then completely wrong the next. And this is how he begins his novel. On Friday, noon, July the 20th, 1714, the finest bridge in all Peru broke and precipitated five travelers into the gulf below. The bridge seemed to be among the things that last forever. It seemed unthinkable that it should break. And there you have it. He's talking about how normality suddenly cracks and our world doesn't make sense anymore. And that sentiment is just as old as time, isn't it? And I found myself thinking about that book a lot and that opening line a lot whenever the news of the Boston bombings came over the airwaves.
Yeah. Well, next on your list, and we'll have all of the books at hereandnow.org, The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary Ann Schaefer and Annie Barrows.
It's basically a fictional story about how a group of British citizens get through the German occupation of their Isle of Guernsey. They're caught meeting together in a clandestine fashion, and in order to defend themselves, they create a cover story. They tell the Germans we're basically hosting a literary society, and that plot device, it's really a metaphor of sorts about how literature can actually save your life. And one of my favorite lines in the book says, "Once two members had read the same book, they could argue, which was our great delight. We read books, talked books, argued over books, and became dearer and dearer to one another. other islanders asked to join us, and our readings together became bright, lovely times. We could almost forget, now and then, the darkness outside. That's so compelling that they're using literature to chase away the darkness.
The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary Ann Schaefer and Annie Barrows. Next on your list, E.B. White's One Man's Meat. This is a collection of essays he wrote also during World War II. He was in Maine. You say it sounds like he's trying to quietly talk the country off the ledge.
There's such a marvelous sanity in White. It doesn't matter if the world is falling apart. He's always looking at it with this clear-eyed sense of engagement. When he wrote these essays, he regarded them as relatively inconsequential, and yet they were distributed to soldiers overseas. His essays reminded people what they were fighting for, which was basically that essential gift of civility that is supposed to rest at the heart of a free and democratic society. White writes, "Here in America, where our society is based on belief in the individual, not contempt for him, the free principle of life has a chance of surviving. I believe that it must and will survive. To understand freedom is an accomplishment all men may acquire who set their minds in that direction. And to love freedom is a tendency many Americans are born with. To live in the same room with freedom, or in the same hemisphere, is still a profoundly shaking experience for me." That's White at his best, expressing wonder at something that most of us take for granted. What a sustaining writer he is. He's one of the first writers I grab when I'm feeling low.
Well, two more books on your list, George Orwell's A Collection of Essays, written as bombs fell on London, and 1776 by David McCullough. We'll have the list of all the books, but just a closing comment on McCullough's 1776, of course, about Boston during Revolutionary times.
The thing that really resonated across the country and indeed across the world about the Boston bombings was that this was the cradle of American liberty that was under assault. And David McCullough's book, it's a reminder to us that Boston Strong is a great tradition. He writes, "The bombardment of Boston began at midnight Saturday and continued at intervals until morning. The British answered at once with a heavier, louder cannonade. The house shakes with the roar of the cannon," wrote Abigail Adams from her home 10 miles away. "No sleep for me tonight." There's Abigail Adams confronting anxiety and uncertainty about the future. And of course, we know how the story turns out. And it's such a wonderful affirmation that our highest values can really help us transcend our lowest moments.
Danny Heitman, columnist for the Baton Rouge Advocate. He also teaches at Louisiana State University's Manship School of Mass Communication. Danny, what a pleasure. Thank you.
Goodbye, Robin. It was good to connect with you today.
Well, on Facebook, we asked for your suggestions. Allison Goodyear recommends Charles Frazier's Cold Mountain, the Odyssey tale set in the post-Civil War South. Parker Bray suggests the late veterinarian James Herriot's All Creatures Great and Small. And David Hill says that Alexander McCall Smith's Isabel Dalhousie Mysteries take my mind on a little vacation. Check it all out at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.